Welcome back once again to the Retrocade Podcast, episode 37. It's Phil and
Sean.
And we have a fantastic special guest here. We have our good friend, what's your name?
It's Pete, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, Pete's so here. He's our local UFO aficionado master who knows.
Expert.
He's our local expert.
So we're deviate from the norm here instead of our usual pop culture jargon. We're popping into a subject that's gained a lot of traction in the recent weeks. It's been around for over 20, 30 years now.
Oh, yeah.
But with Netflix being the outlet that it is, it's the Bob Lazar.
Oh, yeah. John Lazar. Well, it is pop culture because, I mean, Bob Lazar, if you don't know who he is, he's like Mr. UFO, and he's been around for 30 years now. He was the guy that said he worked at Area 51 and really popularized Area 51
in pop culture. He created the Area 51 popularity
in the early 90s.
Exposed it on the map.
Yeah, exactly. He put it on the map.
And that was, what, 89?
Yeah, I think 89. He really went...
30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years ago he went public. Right. And recently, if anybody listens to Joe Rogan's pretty much like the biggest podcast out there, I guess him and Mark Maron are like neck and neck,
so
right?
He was on Rogan last week.
Yeah.
And he's doing his media rounds from the Netflix documentary that came out.
Right, which I watched actually right when it came out before it was even on Netflix. I found it, and I was like, okay. And it was good. It was good. And but yeah, you know, he's making the rounds. It's becoming more public, and we're all long-term fans.
Separately.
Sean, because Sean, you texted me earlier, like last week or whatever. You were like, "Oh, Bob Lazar, big hit on Joe Rogan." I was like, "Yeah, I watched it already, you know." And then you were like,
"It's funny because you talked to him separately about the Bob Lazar, and then we're like, it all kind of meshed together.
It all meshed together because we're all fans of Bob Lazar's story and everything around it." And it's just fantastic lore.
Fantastical story. It's incredible.
The thing is about this story, so like, there's, you know, Roswell is the beginning of the alien kind of saga within the United States and the lore and fascination. But to discredit Bob Lazar, you have to go out of your way. There's more credibility than there is, you know,
every year
inadequacies.
It seems every year since he's came out with the story, more evidence has come out to prove him right. Wouldn't you say? Yeah, for sure.
I would say with things like the Element 115 and this the handprint, not to like get
the
too
handprint,
specific. Yeah, we're going to get into
that. I think the handprint
things.
Is a brilliant example.
That's a great example. Exactly. And so things like that have kind of proved what he's said more so than disproven.
Like the things with him in the newspaper from Los Alamos and stuff.
The Los Alamos thing.
So let's, if people aren't familiar with this, let's start from the very beginning here.
Go ahead.
To kind of go from his origins, his where he came from, and where kind of this whole media circus grew from.
Right.
So he was a physicist out of California, and he was known for propulsion.
Was he out of Southern California?
I believe
no, Florida. Sorry, he was in Florida and California afterwards. He's from Florida originally.
Yeah. And he lives now in what, Arizona?
He's out west.
Yeah, he's out in like the Midwest or Southwest.
He's definitely New Mexico.
But he's originally from Florida.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What? So he grew up.
He was born in Florida. Says Coral Gables.
Gotcha.
So he was really known to propulsion, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what he ended up doing. But then where he got his start, he was just this mad scientist kid. He's a physicist. A propulsion, brilliant mind. So he was attaching rockets, okay, to bicycles. So he made like worldwide news in the United States for putting a jet rocket
in his Honda Civic.
That's so funny.
So you know, everyone's like, "What the fuck is this guy?"
Right.
So there was a famous nuclear physicist doing some speeches at his college. So he's there, Lazar's there, and the famous physicist is like, "Oh wow, you're the rocket engine guy," and they have a quick chat. So 5 years later, they run into each other again, and the famous nuclear physicist guy, and this is from Adam Bomb Dude, recommends Lazar. So he gets a...
Right, I believe, just to, on that point, he was the the father of the thermonuclear bomb, the guy you're talking about specifically, right?
He gave Lazar a recommendation to the government.
Right.
And then from there, you know, he says he goes on all these interviews, and he eventually gets this job. Now, to get this job, he moves to Las Vegas. From Las Vegas, he's like, you know, you're on 2 weeks, and you're off 2 weeks. It's kind of how it worked. You would go on an airplane,
It was a small airplane.
Now, this is, you're talking about after Los Alamos.
After Los Alamos.
He worked at Los Alamos in the lab. So what was his position? He was an engineer?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it would be engineer. It wasn't chemist.
Physics. Okay.
Well, he has a master's degree in physics from MIT.
Well, so he says,
but
right?
That's
the problem, is that that's the one thing in regards to his story. You know, I'm just going to try to give a little bit of a counterpoint here because while I love this story and I've been hearing about it, that's maybe the biggest thing that I've heard about Bob Lazar, is that he's got so many fantastical claims. It's just you would think that he, have accreditation,
But there's talks of him people scrubbing his credentials discredit him.
We can go into that further.
What he specifically said was, and it's funny how you mentioned that about degrees, he didn't say just recently in the interview that he has a degree from there. He said
he
attended
took classes there,
at MIT,
yes,
and I forget the Southern California college.
There was the Pierce College in LA.
California Institute of Technology.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
So Caltech is its known for.
That's the one, yep. So he said he attended classes at both of those.
Right.
But they did credit him in working for Los Alamos. He's in the employee lab phone directory.
Yep.
Once you're worked there, you're in their directory permanently.
That's right.
And that exists. Yeah.
And the newspaper article.
Yeah. That said.
Once he was hired there.
Okay. So he definitely worked at Los Alamos.
He worked there.
So what exactly it was Los Alamos now?
Okay. So his position, from what I understand, his position in Los Alamos, he doesn't really, whatever he said, I know he did make a point to say that he, not that he couldn't discuss it, but I think it was more, it was weapons tech.
He was in propulsion.
So what is Los Alamos for the uninitiated? It's a national laboratory. It's a government facility developing weapons. Right. Okay.
And he was in propulsion weapons. Okay. So propulsion weapons,
rockets and stuff.
These things with magnetism, pulses.
Launching them, right?
Yeah, launching.
Getting them to kind
of
move in a certain way.
Blow the fuck out of something.
Beat radar, beat defense systems.
Right.
So the guy had the background for this, crazy journey that he eventually embarks on.
Right.
Definitely intelligent.
Yeah, we know that.
He got the reference from this nuclear guy. That was doing a speech at, I think it was Caltech.
Okay.
So it's called S4 is where he eventually starts working.
So S4 is the sub, portion or the section.
Stands for section four.
Subsection
four of the of Area 51
installation,
which would have been near the Papoose Lake bed. I think he said
in the mountain range between there and Groom Lake, outside of Nevada, or outside of Las Vegas. It's all quartered off into where they test nukes with the Trinity bomb, the first one in Nevada, all in the similar area where the government likes to hide away.
Hide their shit and test. And this is all verified at this point. It's a no-fly zone.
Everybody knows
that Area 51 actually exists.
They push their barrier even further.
Just so people can't get close.
They've been buying land since World War II in this place.
Yeah.
They've owned.
Even bigger portions.
It's gotta be
Nevada's just
It's gotta be a quarter
a fucking casino strip.
I know.
And a nuclear wasteland.
It's fallout. Perfect fallout. It's just fallout.
It's insane.
It's got to be a fourth of the state, how big they're... desert land, people.
That's a good point. I'd love to see a map of that.
What U.S. land is owned.
How it's chopped up.
Yeah, let's see if we can find one. I'll even put it on the... Because I would assume... that it's definitely a big portion. So how far is Area 51 from, the Vegas Strip?
He's going in an airplane, so it can't be close. You got to...
Right, because he said he was taking the little airport near...
You gotta realize how Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, so the McCarran Airport.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So you gotta realize how massive Nevada is. I was in Reno over the summer.
I've been to Vegas. I've been to Nevada before. Yeah.
Reno's an 8-hour drive from fucking Vegas. It's in the same state.
Reno is very north. Yeah, as opposed to
so
Vegas.
So you gotta look at. But Nevada's probably the size of New York State. Right? It's gotta be similar to the size of New York State. Just fucking massive. But, it's all desert. It's desert. There ain't fucking shit. It's casino towns.
Okay, so we have the Vegas Strip, to Homi Airport, which is, I guess, where he was getting flown into.
Okay.
And that's 2 hours, 45-minute drive.
Right.
So yeah, it's almost
it's probably a half hour flight.
Yeah, yeah, like 40-minute flight. Yeah, in those little planes because they go a little slower. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And then he would go in a blacked-out
bus.
Yep. Yeah, like he couldn't see the out the
almost
windows.
Almost like a correctional
bus. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, where, like,
yeah.
Yeah, like a correctional bus where the windows are like blacked out, or maybe his aren't caged, but...
So you don't know where you are.
So you don't know, yeah,
it's like
you don't
a
know where they're...
Down
exactly,
the
blindfold so you, yeah.
The radicalness of the story kind of elevates when he starts working at S4, which essentially, you're going to say Area 51 for people that aren't...
Sure. Yeah. S4 is a portion of Area 51. Yeah, like
where they keep the flying.
Yeah, where they keep the glorious flying dish.
His specific job is reverse engineering alien spacecrafts.
Love it.
So first from that statement alone, you're like, what the fuck? Is this for real? You know.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, what about what he says when he's reading the brief, right? On the first day, that all this insane stuff is just listed off that he said he was completely overwhelmed with.
Right.
Imagine that, right? You come from, you're a civilian. This is in 88, 89, maybe?
Yeah. No. Earlier than that.
I'm sorry.
Work
early
in
80s. 84?
I want to say 83, 84. Okay. Mid, early to mid 80s.
Because he worked at Los Alamos in 82, right?
Yeah. Okay. Right. And in his early 20s, by the way.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
84 yeah. he started working there.
So he's in his probably 20, 23, let's say,
he's
right?
Gotta
he's
be
out
24
of college.
Bucks,
first fucking gig was weapons tech lab.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
he looks like. And he looks like Bill Gates. He's
he
got
does.
He does.
Glasses.
He looks like young Bill Gates. Yeah, he always had a super nerdy look, you know, with the big, thick glasses.
That's the thing.
Like,
why would this
shirts.
Accredited physicist go on this, go bonkers and go on this... Bullshit.
That's the thing. It's not
why would he make this up?
Right.
You know, ruin all his. He can
no
work.
Financial gain.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
Well, that was one of the bigger things. And me and Pete had discussed that the other day.
You
when
work
we
at Lockheed
about
Martin or some
to...
private weapons firm
yeah.
making millions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of the, that's one of the things that always got me about Bob Lazar is that over the last 30 years, he never really wrote a book.
Nothing.
Hasn't done anything but like unpaid interviews, like 5 minute
to
like
his friends,
exposés,
people that he is
and
comfortable
friends
with.
And stuff.
Very few, I might add. Like very few interviews.
Yeah,
he
really
not
that many. I mean,
maybe
over
five.
Count
on
30,
one hand.
Yeah, over,
five can, in the last 30
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I know he's done like Unsolved Mysteries, but the Unsolved Mysteries interview that he's done,
it was like
it was also choppy. Like it, yeah, it was chopped.
It wasn't
and
really
also,
a direct
it was,
interview. It was more like they produced clips of
yeah,
him
yeah,
talking.
Yeah, well, that was
he
the
wasn't
it was,
like
it
I'm
was,
talking to.
It was an it was an exactly it was an interview that
it wasn't
Unsolved
a Barbara Walters class.
No, it was not exactly, and also like. You know, Robert Stack didn't directly interview him in Unsolved Mysteries. It was more like footage that they had.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
like
maybe
a clip
like
show of
yeah, like maybe NBC, like
most,
NBC Nevada, like picked it up or
in
whatever.
Most polarizing things. You
yeah,
know,
like exactly.
They,
like and this guy Bob
and...
Lazar, I remember that on there.
Yeah.
And then he's done a few others, but also like you said, it's really clips kind of from the same few
now,
interviews
he did
he's done in that same time
specific
frame.
Outlets, which I was always a big fan of, was
right.
Coast to Coast AM, especially George Knapp.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, George Knapp is really the guy who
because Coast to Coast is a legend of a show.
He did George Knapp and he did Art Bell.
Well,
Art Bell
is
died.
The legend.
Art Bell created
away.
The whole movement
yeah,
of
yeah,
this
yeah.
occult radio.
Across the country. Yeah.
He created this
late
whole giant
radio.
Scene.
George Knapp is really the one that popularized Lazar like nationally. He was the investigative journalist that...
From,
like,
he's out of Nevada. This
yeah,
guy's
he got him out there,
won
yeah.
Emmys for being his investigative journalist.
Yeah, 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 exactly. He and that was his big thing. In May of 1989, Lazar appeared in an interview with investigative reporter George Knapp on Las Vegas television station KLAS under the pseudonym Dennis.
Now,
and they hit his face. I watched
I was
that
just
going
to ask you. It was silhetted, right?
Silhouetted,
like he was
yeah.
in the
yeah.
car.
Yeah,
the passenger
shadow
of the
yeah,
car.
Silhouette.
Dennis,
yeah.
correct.
In front of the sun. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
So...
Now, just real quick, I just want to... I'm curious. So that was the first interview.
1989.
That was the very first one he went.
When was the next one that he showed his face? Because it was recent, right? It was
maybe about 2 years later.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was
And he did that...
It's probably locally still.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think it still was locally,
He did that... For insurance, he said.
Yeah, because
he was getting death threats, and he wanted to
life insurance to make it
like yeah.
He wanted to say, "Listen, people, I'm going to be fucking murdered, so I want everyone to know my story because I'm going to be dead anytime."
Yeah, it's like the logic that he used was that, or at least you know said was that like, well, there if I expose myself, then. Hopefully that if I die, you know, because they were threatening his life anyway.
And they
point.
Shot at him like he was literally on
the highway.
Highway.
Yeah, that was that story.
Pull out his window, shotgun.
And to make clear, that was because they stopped using him. So they told him to, they pretty much told him to stop coming back.
Yeah.
And he was really concerned about why, and he was caught filming with his friends. Right. Well, that was a big thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To see the
tests. He knew that the tests were only on Wednesdays.
A funny story about this also is that's a big when you're working at these crazy, you know,
super secret
security clearance jobs, they record all your telephone conversations.
Right, right, right.
So his wife was having an affair.
So this I didn't know. This was new information to me. No, I didn't know about the affair. We talked the other day, and there was two things that he said in this documentary that I had never heard before. That was one of them. Yeah. I won't go into the other one yet.
Also for me, we'll get into
Sure. We'll go into all of that. Yeah.
Like what Sean was saying is that they tap your phone.
They tap your phone. They keep a close eye on
you. You agree to it.
You agree to it. Yeah. You sign off on all that shit. Like when Joe Rogan was asking, like, what was your first day like? He was like, well, the first day was all fucking paperwork.
And to brief, because, we want to talk about how awesome the story is and everything like that, right? But like what Sean was giving us some background on.
Yeah, we need all the backstory.
Start from the beginning.
Because if you don't know about Bob Lazar, like you kind of need to explain
his
backstory.
It's the intro. You'll get to the gravy alien parts.
Exactly. Because
when he was hired initially, I think you have the facts there, Sean, right? So you have something written down.
So
when they brought him in, well, we were saying how amazing. Like you're 20-something years old, right? And now you're brought into this gig. You kind of half know what you're doing. You know it's some type of technology that the government has.
Yeah, interesting stuff that you know you're going to be working
on. You're
not
sure what it is.
Right.
But you know that you had to get a friggin' Q clearance, which is a civilian top secret clearance.
Yeah, speak about clearance. This is affecting me personally.
It's like, it's like a military clearance. Yeah, non-military clearance.
It's a civilian clearance.
Civilian clearance.
Which I believe is one of the highest.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like peak.
I was offered a federal job recently, about 9 months ago.
Sure.
And I couldn't accept the offer because I didn't have a security clearance.
Why couldn't
you? It was a nice gig. I was working within the U.S. Embassy.
Why couldn't you get the?
I inquired about getting this clearance. They said, "Well,
so they offered you the gig, but they wouldn't offer you the clearance."
They were thinking I already had the clearance.
Oh shit.
So I'm like, all right, listen, everything's lined up. Well, we just need your clearance information. We'll make it give you an offer. And I don't have the clearance. So I inquire, well, how do I get a clearance? Because this is a fucking great federal job.
Yeah.
So they say, well, with Trump being president, everything's been completely slowed down. Secondly, it's about a 2-year waiting list and roughly costs around $3,000.
Wow. And this was for...
So this is a federal
what
job.
What clearance was that?
This is the most basic fucking government clearance to work for a federal job.
Gotcha.
So I was like, okay, I'll just go fuck myself then. So 2-year waiting list, $3,000.
Yeah.
Wow. So you had to pay to get
get
clearance.
I'm in the process of getting it, but that job's not going to be available 2 years from now.
That's an interesting fact. I didn't think that you had to pay for your own clearance.
If you're... police office. If you're in the military, if you're law enforcement, they pay for your clearance.
Right, because they want you cleared. Because
you're already in that field. Right. But if you're a civilian off the street, you don't have, you're fucked and you've got to pay
yourself.
And
you're applying for a job, yeah. Sure. Okay, gotcha.
So if you're in the military, you get it they pay automatically.
Right, right.
Being,
a civilian, you don't.
In the beer industry. So anyway, I'm just saying how the importance of clearance still exists. And it affected me personally, where I could have got this pretty great job. Because I didn't have the security clearance. I had to hit the fucking
stick. Poor Sean didn't get his clearance.
Could have been in tech.
Yeah.
Alien tech.
Sean would have been back engineering.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So when Lazar got the job and he got all his paperwork.
Oh, how amazing.
I love the story of the orb. You know, like I know that was one because Joe Rogan asked him.
That was the.
When did you know? Like when did shit start to seem like.
So the orb was essentially the power.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what you're talking about. The power source.
Exactly.
You're looking at a battery for a car, okay? But you're looking at a giant spaceship. He made the comparison that if you went to the 19th century or you went to Henry Ford,
Right. Yeah, me and Pete discussed this. Yeah.
You go to the 19th century where we have basic cars. Very basic cars.
Not even. 19th century?
Exactly.
So you bring them.
It's Wild West.
You bring them a nuclear bomb. And they're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And he made a reference. So they, with his power source, why he was so radical, the technology we had doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay. So it was anti-gravity.
Okay. Now, that's what we got to expand on here, right, boys?
Yes.
Like, how, okay. So anti-gravity power source. He said it's a manipulation.
Yeah, it's a gravity manipulation
device.
Yeah, it essentially, it distorts gravity. So it creates its own gravitational field, so you can kind of pushes off on anything. So how he described it was...
Two magnets. You push upon two magnets.
Yeah, you know when you put two
off.
Of magnets of the same polarity together, yep. they bounce off of each other, you know? And they can even float if you put them... If you ever put like
right
two...
range.
Those,
yeah.
Two magnets in like a... The little science project things. Yeah. And then they can actually float, you know? Yeah, yeah. So this is a similar like logic, but only, you know, gravity is different than magnets.
And how he described what it looked like is a metal plate, like a, let's say a dinner plate, and a half a basketball of rock or metal. He's not even sure. He never...
Yeah, but he said it was smooth. So people
couldn't
think rock.
It's like a half
open
a hemisphere
it, and they had another scientist that actually died tinkering
his
with
predecessor.
It. Yeah, correct.
In that position.
So even look at this job. You know, like, reverse engineering technology doesn't exist.
Nope.
So they figured out...
It's science fiction,
They
really.
Figured out how to turn on this spacecraft... How to manipulate, how to move it. They know how it works.
Right. So that's what back engineering is doing.
He made another analogy with the motorcycle.
That's right.
So he said, you give these guys a motorcycle and there's a key in it. Eventually they're going to figure out, you turn the key, the motorcycle starts.
Right. They'll figure out how to drive a motorcycle.
Move these pedals. You give them a key and you give them months to start this motorcycle. They'll figure out how to turn it on and they'll figure out how to drive it. But they won't understand the engine behind the motorcycle.
How, why?
They're not going to say you have to put gasoline in the motorcycle.
Exactly.
They're just going to know you turn a key and you push the pedal and it propels itself.
Right.
So they had the same verse with this spaceship. They don't know the origin of the spaceship. He had little information. For what he said was from Zeta Reticuli.
Right.
Which is a...
And that was in the briefing. It's a binary star system.
Binary star system.
About 34 light
years. Yeah, 34 to 36 light years away.
Yep.
Let me see.
Which is actually reasonably close. That's one of the closer stars
that is
to
one
us.
Of the
you definitely heard that before in a lot of alien folklore.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's, that's been used. Yeah,
but that's where it started.
39.17 light years.
There's a lot of talk.
It would still
that.
Be, what did we say, 18,000 years to get there?
We did,
at,
me and Phil actually
speeds.
Did 18,000. Did you guys a favor.
Regular years. Huh?
And, we broke
in,
it down.
Earth years.
At
Earth
our
years.
Current our current potential, what, speed?
Yeah, like the speed
what
of.
What we're capable of. Like our rockets.
Yeah, our rockets or like our the. I think the speed
the high end
of what's it called? The one that just got out of our our solar system
this,
now?
Not New Horizons.
Not a New Horizon. The one
first
before
one.
That. Yeah.
The one with Sagan. That Sagan helped.
Yeah, let me see. What's his name? The Voyager?
Voyager.
Yeah, the Voyager. At the speed of the Voyager, it would take 18,000.
Which is hauling ass.
Earth years.
And
yeah,
it took
going,
40 years to get
it's going
to that
30,000 miles an hour,
plus,
I think. Yeah,
plus.
So it's still 30,000 miles an hour would take 18,000 years.
And we launched that in the 70s, and that had... past Pluto.
Yeah, just past Pluto.
A bit of a while ago.
Yeah,
but
maybe 2 or 3
in
years
the past,
ago. Yeah.
Yeah, in the past decade, it passed Pluto. So now it's heading towards the end. But that's the extent of our potential.
Zeta Reticuli is also big, as a lot of people say that's for the term the Greys came from.
Yeah, they say that the Greys...
Well,
so Greys are probably the most famous of the alien subspecies of people.
Yeah, everybody thinks of
which
them,
were,
Greys.
Which were... The funny thing is, though, that it's from movies, too. Like, a lot of movies...
Sure.
And I'm
just pop culture in general, movies,
when
TV.
Did the movie come out? What is it? I'm blanking.
Which one? Close Encounters?
Yes, Close Encounters.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind came out in 1977.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, of course, there's been alien movies.
Yeah,
forever.
No, there's been
Roswell.
So Roswell kicks it off.
Yeah, since the 50s,
but
alien
even,
lore has become a pop culture thing
even,
in America.
You know, Martians and all that was big back then.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is, it's just an amazing topic. Because it gives a bit of like hope that there's more going on.
Oh, yeah.
Than just what we sludge around.
Exactly.
It.
And
the
fact
big
that
influence,
like,
not even that, it's the challenge of like the government complex hiding this information.
Those
that
fuckers.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's working on this one ship and the specific team.
Yep. Him and one other guy.
So yeah, his Barry. His
but their
coworker
specific
Barry.
Task is propulsion. They want to know
right.
what powers this thing, how's it move. That's their job.
What, yeah, can they figure out what it
and
is?
And he said, so this hangar is miles and miles long of hangars.
Right.
One day, everything
in the
up.
In the side of the mountain.
In the side
and
of the
built
mountain.
Built in the
mountain.
Show Sean that, by the way?
Oh, what, the overhead that...
I'm aware of this. You know, the show. So they
no,
built...
No, I'm saying, did I show you the clip?
There's a still shot of someone found a
Google Maps, one being constructed.
Yeah, of like a
did
new,
I show you that?
Like
I'll
a similar.
We'll put it.
Sure, yeah, put it on
can.
The Facebook page. All the pages.
You fly over this, but you can restricted airspace.
Right.
But let's say the Russians have some high tech spy camera from the moon. Right. You wouldn't even see it anyway, because all these structures are built into the Earth's surface.
They're built into
the Earth's surface. A lot of it's underground.
Yeah, they're like, and even the doors to the what's it called, the hangar, the doors to the hangar are kind of like
they open from the
ground.
They're angled and they also kind of look camouflaged, but like rock,
so
on
it's almost
them,
like shoots out of the Earth.
Opens up one and day, but they were building another one, so that
no, they're constantly expanding.
You said you could show stuff on the or something like
that. I'll put it on like the Instagram and Facebook pages. Anybody who watches,
but you could imagine it. What we're talking about, it's just imagine a mountain, pretty much.
But what you gotta realize as well,
a hangar door.
This is 30 years ago. He's talking about 35 years ago,
and we don't. This is when he was there.
Who fucking knows what it's like now? 35 years ago, technology is a fucking century. So anyway, he's working on one ship and his specific team and his specific agenda. He said there was eight other ships.
Here's the shot right here. Like this.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
You gotta show Sean.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it. Yeah. Okay. So he said he was only working on one of nine ships
on the hangar. See, they built the hangars into the
Completely.
And this is what they found on Google.
They found this on Google Earth.
It's under construction. Yeah, there's trucks pulling out the dirt. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, they're building more hangars in the mountain.
Like I said before,
how many is there? There's three here, two, one, two, and then a third one over here.
Yeah, and this is the one with the 18-wheeler in the shot. I can't see.
Yeah, there's an 18. It looks like there's an 18-wheeler.
Well, the other one's colored. This one looks black and white.
What's a closer one?
Oh, there you go.
This is like a digitalized one. Yeah, this is like an artist rendition of it. I'll post all these.
But anyway, right? Sure. That's what we're saying. They build these hangars in the side of the mountain. So,
oh, here's a nice clear one.
Obviously, that's the exact one.
That's nice.
How sick is that? That's so funny. Right?
And they have the exact longitude and latitude in the picture, so if you wanted to...
Put it on the website, but people can see it then.
Yeah, they can take a gander themselves. I'll put pictures of Balthazar, too.
So, yeah, the picture's classy. It really defies his whole
story. He's a scientist when you look at it.
Yeah. So there's nine other spaceships. There's nine total. He's working on one.
Right.
So he said he saw eight other ships, but she has no clue about them.
He caught a glimpse of them. Teams.
Well, he said that the hangar doors were open, like the bay doors.
One time,
and you were able to see all the way down the hangars, and then there's each ship in each, like...
I envision it like when you're at a big store like Costco.
Yeah, Costco.
And you look down the main aisle.
Look down the aisle.
And you see the end caps on each aisle, right?
All that, because this is such secret
tech. This is just spaceships, yeah.
How is such secret tech?
I'll take that picture.
Only difference is
all this information is compartmentalize, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like you were saying, he only has one.
His team's
partner.
Only about this ship, so they don't know the other ships. They don't know the other origins.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
Right.
Let's
and
just talk about how stupid
any work
that is.
Done
that
when you can't
especially
share information.
With scientists, you need to discuss in each different, because that one particular ship, it wasn't just each ship had two people on it. Each ship had a bunch of people, but that were compartmentalized.
But they didn't talk to each other.
That weren't allowed to talk to each other. So you need, especially scientists, when you have something so incredible that you're trying
to
figure out.
That's the thing. They want
to
control the information.
That's
the biggest.
And that's why it's
point of this whole story
so long.
Is Lazar.
Right.
Expose this iron curtain.
This incredible shit.
Look at a perfect example of information
rock curtain in his sense.
Yes.
Right?
So look at the FBI and the CIA, right?
Yeah.
We could have caught so many terrorists, et cetera, but they don't share information with each other.
Exactly.
Right.
It's insane. If they actually utilize their information together, they would have had a common...
Yeah, they would
be
fucking combine their information.
They're like, nah, we don't fucking work
like that. Look at free energy, right? If our world wasn't filled with the greed, not to go into political shit, but, we could have free energy.
This
right
higher
now.
Power is controlling
the government is just greed and power. Like Lazar said, whoever is has the stronger hand wins. Mm-hmm. Like this technology, he was saying there's Russians in there and shit.
You don't think the Russians also have some of these weapons, UFOs?
Let's talk about that for a second.
You don't think they also have some of these UFOs?
What do you think?
Or maybe China has a couple?
Seriously,
what
do you think, Sean?
I think it's a rat race. Who figures it out
first? But where the fuck are they coming from? Like,
well, that's the question.
Okay, now this is assuming what Lazar is saying is true, right?
So
of course.
What he said,
now,
of course.
I personally tend...
Some of these things are, you can't believe everything.
I'm not completely biased for him, but I tend to lean towards I believe him. You know what I mean?
Agree.
Like most of what he says is very believable. He doesn't actually talk about aliens.
No,
and the way he talks,
he's
is
brought
really
that
great.
Up once. I've heard an interview.
Said, he said
know?
That the
but he didn't
the,
do any
the,
of that.
The department heads referred to him as like the kids. That's what they said.
Yeah, he was saying like,
right.
And also
because the small seats.
Yeah,
in the ship.
I mean, that's,
but he mentioned there were seats in the ship.
Right, because
there was no
well,
bathroom.
Well, let's back up for a minute.
There
and
was
talk
no
about,
controls either. There was no controls
right,
and
right,
no bathroom.
So before we talk about him when he actually apparently worked on the spaceship,
they weren't eating. They weren't defecating.
Right.
You it's know, just so incredible. We tend to jump around a bit. When
yeah,
we talk about
exactly. But let's go back to the power source before we actually talk about
okay,
the spaceship
perfect.
Itself. So
which
that's
is
kind of
my favorite part.
Yeah, it's
way.
Very interesting. So when he said, like, one of the first things that kind of, you know,
when
told
he
him
first realized,
when he first realized, wow, we're dealing with some
this is nuts
with some crazy technology.
Essentially, it's
or
science
going on,
that does not exist.
Yeah, that
yeah.
technology
in a nutshell,
that
that's
is
what
not
it is.
Known publicly. To you know, mankind or humans in general, was this power source? Like people were saying before, the half basketball smooth, the smooth
size
half basketball. Yeah, it was
motor.
Yeah, exactly. It
which,
was like stone or
whatever.
Metal.
Yeah, he didn't specify, but
smooth. He said, cold, so probably
and
like
I think
a metal.
Cold to the touch as
cold
well.
Cold
right?
to the touch. He said.
Now, do you remember if he said that's was it similar material to what the ship itself was made of?
The way I imagined it, yes,
yes
but I don't.
Right?
I didn't.
Me too.
I don't recall like him specifying. If it
and
was,
now
yeah.
also that they were able to turn it on and off.
Yes, there
now,
was.
When
yeah,
it was
exactly.
off, they could touch it and handle it.
Right.
Right. Now, once they got the fuel source in mm-hmm. and figured out how to turn it on,
right.
It projected this
gravity force,
pretty much a force field around it,
pushing
yeah.
it away.
Right. So it has this localized force field around the device. That you could get into a certain close
a certain
enough,
range. Yeah, like a couple inches, but
that
you
your
can't
hands are you're
over
you know,
it,
hovering over it,
and you just like feel.
You can't
before.
Physically touch it.
It's yeah. something. Some force is
pushing
you
off,
away
so
from
you
it.
Can't actually like those magnets
when
we said
on.
Before. You can't actually get your hand on it.
It's
you
a barrier.
Pushes your hand off.
Force field.
Yeah, force field.
Any type
anti-gravity,
of
whatever.
Yeah, it's it just sounds so amazing.
Yeah,
like, and but you know what? This stuff, it's. It sounds impossible, but it also sounds possible.
It's gravity wave propulsion.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's
we,
propulsion. Gravity wave propulsion.
We see magnets
we,
do it.
Exactly. We have things like magnets
do
that do
similar
this.
Shit.
We can't see with our eyes what it's doing.
No,
right?
We don't know what's in between.
Now, we happen to know that they have magnetic waves. You know, our scientists
yes.
have figured this stuff out. So we know how those
we,
work.
Yeah.
This is a big ticket item is the gravitational
the big ticket,
force,
baby.
Okay?
Yeah.
People look back and they think the pyramids were built with gravitational force. And our science, we can't comprehend gravitational force. We don't understand.
Yeah, we don't know what understand. It is. We know, but okay, we know what gravity
all,
does.
Yeah, we know what the Earth does, and we know
what
it exists.
All
so
unexplainable
yeah,
human kind of artifacts and question marks, they seem to revolve around gravitational force. Meaning, if we're looking at Zeta Reticuli technology, which they claim for the last 10,000 years have been interacting with human
our,
civilization,
yeah.
it all points to that technology.
Do you right. think we could all safely agree that unlocking and understanding how gravity works and to control gravity is the key?
Yeah.
So that
it
that
would,
seems
it would
to
progress
be
us. It would be like Edison creating electricity.
I think it would be way even more.
But it's that equivalent
of
yeah.
course,
changing
well, that's
the minds.
That's the
you know,
that's the
our
light bulb moment, right?
Yeah.
That's the next human.
Yeah.
I think that unlocks tremendous. Us to galaxy wide.
Yeah, it's exploration.
Experience.
I think
yeah.
that's
yeah.
the
yeah.
next
travel.
Step in sure. the development of humanity.
It,
yeah.
It's
you have like industrial revolutions. Yeah. You have electricity.
Right. So we could all agree that gravity is the. That is the
it's
yeah,
we,
the
big
next,
ticket.
It's
as
the
Sean
next
would
huge
say.
Ticket. Yeah, I mean, it would
well,
change everything.
Now, also, is it? It's like it puts out unlimited energy.
Yeah, essentially, it's
so let's
it has
to,
a fuel source.
Let's
we
go
don't
back
know,
to what we were
really
talking about. What it was powered by. What the fuel source was.
But he didn't. See, oh,
so
okay.
He mentioned
right.
it, and
well, that would have been what he called element
115, which is this is what's fascinating, and
yep.
like. I think this is what gives everything credibility, like, completely.
This is, okay, yeah, now I have, okay, go ahead, yeah.
So why this is so groundbreaking to Lazar's claims and kind of verifies
okay.
everything he says. So he's talking about 1984, this element, 115.
Right.
It was unsynthesized, no idea know what the hell it was. It was later created in 2003. Scientists created element 115.
They
can't control
they
it.
They synthesized well, an unstable.
It's Moscovium.
Like, yeah, that's the real name of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
Moscovium.
Be clear.
It's
it
an atomic element
for
yeah.
a millionth of a second.
Yeah.
In a lab.
Right.
And it was gone. It decayed immediately.
Mm-hmm. But we did create it.
It did, yeah.
But we didn't create a stable source of it. It just was like, boom, flash in the pan. But the fact that
we didn't create a sample of it, but we did create it.
We replicated it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the fact that we replicate this thing that he's talking about 25 years later is groundbreaking. I think that kind of gives validation to all he's talking about.
Just another one of those things I was saying that
are any coincidences?
As the years go on, more and more of what he says seems to be coming true in our own day-to-day technology.
Right.
So, it's just, that 115 thing. Now, I'm not a scientist, you know? I'm no chemist, so I don't really understand exactly the specifics of it. But just the fact that we did create it, I think is incredible. Like you said, it's and he said this in 84, so that's 20 years before anything happened. And it was created, we did do it one other time.
That was 2003 is when we first created
the first one. I know there was a second, maybe in 2013, something like that. A couple teams.
I guess Russia was able to do. Did Russia do it first?
It's called Moscovian.
Oh, was it? Yeah, it was a joint. It was a joint institute for nuclear research done, and it's the element's now called Moscovian. We call it.
But
Moscovian.
In the periodic table, it's atomic number 115.
Yeah, it's element 115. That's its atomic number.
Say that that's 2003 in Russia, mm-hmm. by a Russian American collaboration.
Yeah, it was a collaboration. Right. Yeah.
And it's, I guess, it's sort of like the space station. It's a joint institute of nuclear research.
That's why they call it Moscovium, though. It was synthesized in Moscow.
Yeah.
The Russians are like, well, we created, fuck you.
We want to call it Moscovium.
Yeah.
So, Mother Russia.
Mother Russia.
Extremely radioactive.
Yeah.
Right.
It's most
unstable isotope.
Its most stable isotope had a half-life of 0.65 seconds.
The one we created.
Half of 1 second.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's way less than that, right? Oh, is that what it says?
No, that's they said the most stable they could manage to do.
Half of one second.
Yeah. So like,
not even
the one he's
nine.
Using completely is completely
stable.
It's
the stable version,
yeah.
Right?
So that just it's just a physical.
And how did he describe it? Like, he didn't really get into that, right? It's not like a block.
I don't know
how I envisioned it because we had this half sphere, which is like the motor, right?
Yes.
Now, I envisioned.
Well, he's drawn pictures of it too.
The motor itself.
The kind of a cross section of it throughout the past.
So what did the fuel source look? Was it just like a fuel rod that kind of went into it?
Yeah,
like...
let's get a picture of that up. And
because
then...
that's really the thing that he spent most of his time with in the lab.
Right.
He got a couple glimpses of the ship, was able to go in it a few times here and there. But of the, 6 months he was there, sporadically, whenever they called him in, most of his time was spent in the lab with this motor.
His whole job was propulsion. How does it work? Yeah. How does it get engine?
Now, by the way, right? Also... this is just, like Sean said, nothing was connected. So somehow they just take this out of the ship.
Then he's working on that. Then he's working on this.
No. I mean the actual device, the motor itself. So they took it out of the ship. They can mess with it. But now think about this. Once it's back in the ship, the source, somehow it controls the ship. Think about that for a second, right? So, and there's no wires, like he said. There's nothing connected physically. It's just, now once this motor is put into the ship... now it controls the ship. It blows my mind how this would even work. Now, like,
and it's from this energy source. And
right, but like how it's not going to... So like if I put it in my car, would it just create like... I think the whatever the material...
your car would just like
now
crumble
shit.
Into an aluminum right. ball and just... like,
right. What I
you
mean
would
is,
die with it immediately.
I mean, so what I think is, I think whatever the ship is made of, that material tends to...
So it's
it either keeps it inside, like obviously it has something to do with it,
I
whatever
look at
the material is
material,
made of.
Material, because the material
it's like conductive.
The
maybe.
Material's conductive, and it's a mixture. It's not. It's a mixture of being a solid and not a gas, but it's like it fluctuates in its kind of shape and purpose.
What's that? So the ship
the
itself.
The material. So you look at, for example, the Roswell. Crash landing. They said that material was like a sheet of foil, but it was hard, but it was soft.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
So it kind of defies...
Roswell, so... They butchered Roswell so much that
well,
it's...
Well, another one is the U.S. just...
I know.
Oh, yeah, fucking weather balloons.
It was a weather balloon, Sean. What do you... Roswell.
Over
it was a weather
test, yes. Oh. Find out the weather in Germany during the war.
And it didn't look like a weather balloon to me. It looked like a party balloon, by the way. When was the last time you saw a fucking tinfoil
weather
balloon? I know, right?
All these ranchers are like...
I know, like they got that at the dollar store.
It looked like a happy birthday.
But the ranchers are like, why are these little corpses and shit?
Yeah, I know, bullshit.
Oh, yeah, and then they had the audacity to say it was shaved chimpanzees.
Well...
The Roswell, they said, we found these bodies.
Follow up on that.
Shaved chimpanzees.
We shaved them. That's a good one.
You know what? Apparently, I did not know this, but Stalin, right, in Russia, and that was the same
apes?
Time.
Of course.
Well, not even the apes. Apparently, he had his own initiative in secret military.
Oh,
where they did genetic and like reconstruction on people. To make them look alien-like, almost. Now, this was... Where did I see this? This, funny enough, might have been on Rogan. He had someone on, this guest.
I don't want to deviate too far from the Lazar thing either, but...
No, but it is under the umbrella of this, UFO-type thing where... Because, look, we're talking about Lazar, and all of us have, obviously, a soft spot for him because we're so interested, and he seems to be very truthful. He doesn't benefit from it. But there's the other side, too. That a lot of people also feel that it's bullshit. Let's be honest, it's like, people, it can't be true. Right. If I can't see
it
with my own eyes.
It's so outrageous.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's understandable.
And it challenges our fundamentals.
It challenges everything.
It challenges our entire knowledge. Like, that's why even scientists, you take the most popular scientist, Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? Who I like and don't like sometimes.
Yeah.
He's such a smug fuck.
He comes off arrogant. Especially lately.
Apologize for my language here, but.
No, we have no.
I've been censored on this.
There's
thing
no filter on this.
Times.
Okay.
There's no filter on this.
But yeah, like he's very afraid to talk about aliens and possibility of aliens.
Yeah, anytime he gets brought up, he kind of brushes it off.
And it's not just this generation; it's the entire history of humanity. Anytime somebody figures something out that they don't know and is new to them, Isaac Newton, right? Shunned from the community.
Oh yeah,
was a kook. Yeah. He was a nut job. Why? Because
we also
get
challenging the church, etc., etc.
Now the government complex
has overshadowed the church and influence.
But take the government out of it, the scientific community alone that aren't in touch with the whatever secret shit is going on.
I think
on.
The biggest
everything revolves around the Earth. What are you talking about, idiot?
If they think that all their years in Einstein and everyone's wrong. Then what does that mean? That means they spent their whole lives wrong. Their entire career have been wrong, so they won't agree to that. They'll fight it to their death.
The biggest takeaway is it's an antimatter. Like we have all these physicists studying antimatter.
Yeah.
And this ship was powered on an antimatter reactor. So it's just all the science that we're investing millions upon millions. Every top physicist in the world, this is what they're studying.
Yep.
And this is what powered these fucking vessels.
Insane.
30 years ago.
Insane.
So let's talk about how Lazar kind of went from this whistleblower, and then what was the aftermath? What kind of, so George Knapp, who I'm super fond of. Now, George Knapp, I just saw George Knapp on Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah.
With Art Bell, like we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's won Emmys as an investigative journalist. So he's super
he's
renowned.
He's been around for years.
Super renowned journalist. Huge following, tons of credibility. He put it all on the line. He did another big, this is his two big projects with Lazar. He did the Skinwalker Ranch, which is in Utah.
Yes.
That's a whole other can of worms that we're not opening today.
All the worms.
But he's put a lot of, heavy stuff and a lot of stuff on the line. Now, the guy that did this documentary also did a Skinwalker documentary. I guess this guy's just following George Knapp.
Oh,
Dick riding him.
He's a
dick rider. Yeah.
Big time.
And he's getting subjects that are 30, 25, 30 years old. So, like, the younger generation only uses Netflix for their information.
But it's smart because this came out there. Lazar was big 30 years ago when he came out.
I discovered night radio and a turnstile radio.
That's how you do it, right?
In my grandmother's house, and I'm like, what's this?
But we need our new generation
to be aware of
this.
Otherwise, because it gets fucking forgotten
and
thrown in the dumpster.
And you need to keep pressing it, whether it's the government or whoever the hell's in control, the very slim chance that we'll get to know anything of truth, we need pressure there. We need the youth, because the youth turns into the adults.
Yeah.
That's it's just a simple fact.
Mm-hmm.
So we need them aware of this so that when push comes to shove, the time comes when they're older, they're in control. We need something done about this. If it's true, we got to know. I want to know.
Rogan's level. Rogan, right? Who's a million of followers? He's doing the media rounds, which he doesn't do.
Yeah.
Now, essentially, he will be always known the rest of his life as the world's most notorious UFO truther. He
Oh yeah, he loves talking about
UFOs. He exposed everything.
Rogan? Or
no,
Lazar.
Lazar.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of his life, he's my father's age. So he's 60 years old. That's Bob. You mentioned name Bob Lazar.
Oh, he certainly solidified himself.
Synonymous with he's the most famous guy.
He's
UFO the all-star whistleblower
of the,
yeah,
the UFO.
Think
community.
Of another UFO whistleblower. There is. There's
you can't
no,
think of one.
It's all the other
there's
ones
others,
are just like the abduction
discredited.
Stories.
They've been discredited.
Yeah, well, like I was saying with Pete, like yeah, like you have like the Allagash abduction guys. And no, but nobody
but
is like
not,
one single one.
Also
and none of them
hillbilly
have,
farmers in the woods. You know, mm-hmm. yokels.
Yeah,
this guy's a physicist. Okay,
and none of them have like have even ever said that they worked. It with these craft, or with not the craft, forget the craft, with the government in secret tech.
Correct.
Right?
They were just bystanders.
So he's
the
only one. Now, there are a lot of, there's some astronauts, there's some military, like fighter jets, and even commercial jet airliners, the pilots.
For sure.
There's a lot
and
going
they,
on in
they
the skies.
Experience it, but I think he's.
But he's the one.
He's on the intelligence side. The mm-hmm. other, the rest are witnesses.
He's about the technology.
He's the first and only on the intelligence side, reverse engineering this stuff, being behind the scenes. Of the actual
and you
UFO
can hear
you know American alien government agenda
exactly and when he talks he never talks about the alien part of it which is
never.
Which is incredible too because I'd want to know
mentioned in passing.
Whose it is where it came from
what do they look
he doesn't
like?
Really give a crap about that what he loves is the technology and
that's
you
it.
Can tell and he's even said it his greatest regret is that he wasn't able to continue working on this tech
well,
he
yeah.
wishes he could
he
still
got more...
he got his life. Certain circumstances in his life, like you mentioned before, with
yeah,
the line tapping,
so
his wife,
still working.
His wife cheating
it,
on
it
him.
Got
that's
him,
what actually screwed up his
it
career.
Screwed
there,
him
yeah.
out of working
because
there.
You're supposed to have a good,
stable,
a stable house or a
if
home
that
life.
Never
yeah.
happened,
if your wife's cheating on you, you're gonna be stressed. You're
yeah,
drugs
yeah.
and alcohol.
Now we yeah. should be thankful that happened because if that never happened, he would have gladly worked there quietly.
Yeah, yeah might have
for
been.
His entire
well,
life with this amazing technology.
You know
and never
fascinating,
came out.
Fascinating about him also. How much he risked on the line for doing this. So
yeah.
even recently, with this new movie coming out, so he runs a company now called United Nuclear, and it's a
yeah.
basically a scientific supply company.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
yeah.
lives in Michigan now. Oh yeah, he lives in Michigan actually. Not
there you go.
Okay.
It's a Midwest, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah.
So he has a company. You know, he's outsourcing scientific supplies.
Yeah.
That's his. He has his own company.
And he makes little
and
rocket
during,
motors.
During.
Yeah, he's like a pyrotechnic enthusiast.
Yeah,
and
well, that's just
yeah.
his hobbies.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I mean. He likes in his.
But
shop.
He builds motors. He was in reverse. That's why they picked him. He's a perfect
he's
man for the job.
Yeah.
He's reverse engineering fucking engines.
Yeah.
You know if they were alien fucking yeah. engines with antimatter.
Alien engines. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
So while they're filming this documentary, what suddenly happens? The FBI raids.
Who comes knocking, Sean?
The FBI raids his fucking company warehouse.
Yep.
They raid his headquarters.
And what were they looking for?
They want a fucking spook.
115. That's apparently what they were, they thought he was messing
so
with again.
He doesn't strictly say what they were looking for, but
he implies,
that's what he implying.
He implies, because this, like you said, the movie's coming out. Now, oh, they're talking about this shit again. 115, you know. Oh, we keep that secret nowadays. You know, he came out 30
they're
years
like,
ago.
Oh, this
now we're
back.
Using that.
This
yeah.
fucking guy's back. Like,
think
spook
about
him.
That, right? 30 years have gone by since he came out. We could already know how this shit works, you know, and there's been an abundance of UFO sightings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially now that we have better camera phones and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Ultra
readily
HD.
Everyone on the planet
has
pretty much
HD has camera
a
in their
available
pocket
recording device.
Yeah.
You know, so any incident, they could just record.
Oh, yeah.
And there's
for
been
sure.
a lot of bullshit, of
yeah.
course.
Let's talk about another item that also gives him more
credibility
as the years go on.
What's that?
So in the 80s, he claimed there was a biometrics identification system.
Okay.
So essentially what this means, so you look at today, if you're going to working, let's say you're going to the Pentagon or something.
Sure.
They have retinal scanners, they scan your fucking eyeball.
Right.
That's kind of the ultimate identification
yeah,
system.
Yeah, that technology, again, didn't exist in the 80s.
So this in the 80s, he claimed there was this biometric system where essentially you scan the bones in the employee's hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, no one ever heard about this fucking shit. Yeah. This was never used in a public office or setting.
Nope.
This is strictly
and it
government
seems ridiculous,
stuff.
Too, by the way.
And it's like, scan the bones of your hand.
Yeah.
Not your fingerprints.
Nope.
It's your fucking bones
the
in
bones.
Your fingers. And apparently, every hand has a unique bone structure.
Right.
So my bones in my hand are different than yours
yep.
and different than everybody's.
But it's like a fingerprint, but more, even more
so,
yeah,
unique.
More unique.
So people
yeah.
were like, you know,
cool.
whatever. None of his other bullshit stories. So I'm talking recently as in 2-3 fucking years ago, private security firms actually had pictures of these devices saying they, in fact, did exist, and we did use them in the mid-80s,
yep.
at super you know, secure government outposts.
Yep, exactly. Like the Air Force specifically had one of them.
It's just another story that.
Yep.
20 years
here's
later,
a picture of the hand scanner.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it looks like, so primitive.
It looks bizarre. It looks like 1980s tech.
What it does is you put your hand on this board and it shines a really bright light through it.
Through your
so
hand.
So that you could see the bone.
See
it's
the
like
bone.
An x ray.
Especially x rays
of
the bones of your hand.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And so it can measure the
uniqueness.
It's
so primitive, you know? But at the time, it's like, the future is here.
The future is here. We can scan your bones.
It's just another example after example of stories that he came out with 20, 25 years ago. We're proving to be facts.
Every year, something new is coming out.
So if this guy's a liar, where the fuck is he getting this information
from? And he is not
30 years in the past.
And any financial gain that he's gotten through the years, which is not much, but he has not taken a penny. Every bit, the very few
thousands.
That's
a big thing, too,
he's donated it to scientific groups.
Yeah, he hasn't gone on, like,
that's the money,
book
that's
tours
the
or, like, Q&As or anything like that. He hasn't, like, tried to financially milk this.
Yeah, not one bit.
Yeah, which he could have. He could easily have been a multimillionaire off this shtick.
Like, look at us,
he
right?
He would be an engineer at Lockheed Martin developing fucking weapons. Millionaire. He's a genius.
Right. Well,
but
not
now
even that.
He has
could be
his
touring.
Kinda,
like if he if he did a Q&A in New York,
he
would
be like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Would you be there? If you,
of course,
of course. And you're not the only one.
He doesn't go to these alien cons. He doesn't do any of this.
He has a tremendous following too.
He hates the connotation that comes with it.
The only reason he agreed to do this documentary was because George Knapp was producing it,
right?
And he's good friends with George Knapp,
right?
And George Knapp only handles certain fucking subject matter.
Right.
That's why, like, everything comes together. Because George Knapp is one of those renegades. He's from the Art Bell School.
Yeah.
So it all comes together, you know what I mean? Because he's like, you know what? If we're going to handle this media, I'm going to handle this media with people that actually give a shit about me and don't think I'm a fucking kook and want...
Right.
He's not going on CNN, because they're going to laugh at him when he walks out the door.
Laugh him right off. Right beneath his picture during the interview. It'll say UFO kook.
UFO crackpot.
Yeah.
Where it's like George Knapp, they like go on vacation together, they drink beers and shit, and they hang out, and they believe in each other. That's why he only talks to people that he respects and trusts.
And trusts,
Because everyone else thinks, exactly, UFO kook, let's get some fucking sensationalism out.
Even the Rogan interview, it took some pulling and shoving.
He was very, very reluctant.
It was not easy.
But they were like, listen, this is going to be your maximum exposure.
Yeah, and right? Still, even during the interview.
He pretty much said, like, this is one of my last fucking times of talking about this.
Because Rogan's saying, this is great. What you're doing right now is great. And even in the interview, he says, why? Why is it great? I don't think so. I hate this.
He had to meet Rogan first to be like, you know what? I know who he is. I know he's the most famous podcast in the world.
And the little sidekick fucking Dick Ryder definitely is like, you know, helping to get him out of his shell a bit nowadays. You could see that he is helping. He was the reason Rogan got him in. Because
he
spoke to Rogan. His name is not important because he's a nobody. He's the producer
of the documentary.
He's a
George Knapp dick rider.
He's an all-around dick rider.
All his three movies he's made.
Is his name Jeremy Corbell?
Yeah, that's it.
All his three famous documentaries were all George Knapp projects that he just re-released 30 years later.
Yeah, he's just copy.
He's just George Knapp's dick rider.
He's copy and pasting it with a new spin.
In
the interview.
And he's
so annoying, too.
Yeah,
he actually sucks.
I hate him.
Man, talk.
No one wants to hear from you.
He was telling us what Lazar was telling us.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, dude, we don't need you to say it.
Yeah,
just shut the hell up.
Let Lazar do his shit.
You're not the one that knows shit.
No one wants you. Get out of here. Even Rogan's like, yo, get this guy out of here.
Who is this guy? Yeah, because he was talking about things, and Rogan's like, what are you.
And he was
just
so, like,
babbling.
Get back, Bob. Get back.
Yeah, he was rambling about nonsense, like you wanted to just hear.
Incoherent babble.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say any, like, specific points.
No.
Just going on. And he kept putting himself over too big time.
Yeah,
when I know something, it's real.
I'm pretty good at finding facts, right? Right?
And
it's
like,
shut up. Get away.
It's fucked up because that's like a turnoff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So someone new to the Lazar scene, that interview they heard, they might look at Lazar and say, hey, you know what? This guy's talking some sense.
And then you got
the other guy
going,
like, there's a crackpot involved.
Yeah, well, the crackpot.
You know?
Get rid of
the end of the day, if you want to watch the documentary, it's on Netflix, which everyone listening has.
Yeah.
It's called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. That's the name of the documentary.
Yeah.
The kind of image has his iconic nerdy glasses and then like UFOs and the whole spiel.
Yeah.
But it's tremendous stuff. I think we pretty much went over the juicy parts of it.
Right.
And as I said, he's the most famous UFO truther that ever lived.
Exactly.
And he's 60 years old. It's not like he's dead or he's 90. This is talking about mid-80s tech. So God knows what the alien tech is now that the research are doing now 35 years later.
Right. Like we, because at the time, our technology was limited to how deep we could research stuff. Like I'm sure our even our microscopes and electron.
I don't think we've gotten more things alien like tech in the last 30 years. I'm sure we've acquired some more ships.
Like our own tech that could help us find out more on a on an atom scale, on a microscopic scale. We have way more technology that we could go in depth and look at this stuff. So, you know, 30 years that have gone by, our own tech, which could be influenced by the alien tech, which we don't know. But either way, now we have more technology available
to possibly be able to better back to engineer this shit.
Exactly.
Listen,
so
we're not flat earthers here. We're not talking nonsense. Not. We're just talking about, I think extraterrestrial technology existed. I think it's impacted the human race. And I think we do have the information.
Well, that's
and
the
I think
thing.
Lazar raises these questions.
We can all agree.
Lazar
aliens
raises
exist,
these questions.
Right? Now, we don't know if they've ever been here. I don't know. Right?
There's people like Lazar open.
The universe is so broad, expansive and vast.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Lazar provided a window to the intelligence
it's,
side
yeah,
of it.
I like
and,
that. Yeah.
You know, he's put a lot of food
for
thought. He
gave us a peek.
And he's, you know, he's raised questions. And that's why, like you said, the FBI raided his fucking,
fucking
company.
Years later.
They did it, like, during
2018.
The documentary.
It was in 2018.
Just,
last year, they raided his fucking company.
Just to fuck
for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah.
Just to be like, yo, you're still talking, bud?
We didn't
all
forget
right,
about you, pal.
Look, we're going to fucking tear up your warehouse and your fucking...
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, they busted his balls, you know?
Big time.
Even in the,
you know,
the documentary.
So they probably
yeah.
fucking dropped a Upper Decker in his toilet.
Yeah.
You know? Like...
Like on his floor.
We didn't forget about you, pal.
They spit in his coffee cup.
His coffee cups.
He walks in. He walks into his house. Something's amiss. Yeah. You know, there's a smell that he can't find. You know, there's a hidden egg.
I think that's the icing.
The hit eggs.
That's the icing on the cake. The FBI. The FBI raided his company last year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
On because this documentary was coming out.
Yeah.
And let me just say briefly that one of the classics that he tells that I love after he's out of there, he goes to the gym with a pal of his.
The
gun
guy?
Just to get a swell going.
Get his
comes
swell.
Back out.
His
every door in his
open.
Jeep is open. The trunk's open. His his glove box open. And his Uzi for protection that Bob kept with him after.
He always has an Uzi.
Was it an Uzi?
It's an Uzi.
I thought he said gun.
No,
I didn't know it was an Uzi. Oh, wow.
Right?
So he has
right?
his like Native American friend.
Yeah.
He's like tatted up like Indian guy. Like,
badass.
Native American Indian
yeah, he's
guy.
Badass, yeah.
And he's like, yeah. So I knew Bob when he lived in California, you know, in Nevada. He
yeah,
was my
yeah,
neighbor.
Yeah.
And I see him with his jet engine. I'm like, who the fuck is this nerdy scientist guy? I want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, to my fucking, I think he's Bill Gates' nerd. This guy's shooting Uzis in his backyard.
Yeah.
And he's because
they were in Nevada.
Yeah.
Nevada is
gun.
You
go hog wild with your guns.
Fully automatic.
Yeah.
They
Nevada's
met each other
a great,
yeah. You get those easy. Yeah.
He met
exactly.
him during.
That's
the,
why it's not unusual.
No. He had an Uzi, and they were. Look, the Israeli Uzis were much. They weren't the price that they're going for now.
Yeah,
you know,
no, he could afford it and
yeah,
could get it.
Like
it's not shocking. I with the gun story, I always just thought it was a handgun. I didn't realize it was an
Uzi.
No,
but the best part is that it's an Uzi.
Yeah.
Because when you look at him, he's such like a meek looking
guy. That's
so
funny. Yeah,
and he's
skinny
fucking
nerd.
Packing.
He's about a fucking
he's
Uzi.
Packing a
ah,
fucking
but I bust
Uzi,
a cap in all your asses.
Spitting fucking spitting fire all over the fucking streets.
Yeah, just blowing through.
But like, dude, he comes out of the gym. His car is completely open. Guns on the seat. Nothing was taken.
Right.
They
the
were just
right
fucking with
him.
Yeah,
like out in the open.
Yeah.
Like
it means
they
he's
were
being
just
followed completely.
Yeah, exactly. So they've. I think they even came in his house once. He thinks.
Yeah.
Not,
he's
everything.
Said that.
Some stuff was moved.
Been,
nothing was
he's,
taken.
He's had
been fucked
death
with.
Threats his for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
He's been fucked with,
and they
and that's
they've
another
had
reason.
Failed assassination attempts on him.
Yeah,
and that's why he walks around with a fucking Uzi.
Yeah, exactly.
You would too.
And that's another reason why he's not. He didn't do this for his own benefit. Like,
no.
Look at the shit.
The amount of stress he...
Look
well,
at
this
been
at this
through.
Point,
so
it's
his college
definitely,
career has been erased.
Yeah.
They tried to erase his birth certificate. I think they did.
You know, he did in 1990 under oath and penalty of perjury, did say that he had degrees from Caltech and MIT.
Yeah. No, his life has been... he's been put through the ringer since he came out and blew the whistle.
For no monetary gain. He just did this because... He felt
for his
know,
own
he
protection.
Had to.
He was a bit worried about his security because he didn't know. And look, let's be honest.
If
when
you're
dealing with
killed.
Super secret military stuff, right? And this shit happens, like, and all of a sudden, you're on the outside looking in after you were in there. You don't know what the hell's gonna happen. They could off you. Come on, man. They could off you in a second if they wanted to.
Oh yeah.
And he was very concerned about that shit.
I think we broached it.
You're right there, pal.
Every aspect of the Lazar, and it's a fascinating story. I'm glad we could bring it to our listeners on a more accessible level.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Check out the documentary. If you want to look up the original, my favorite is the George Knapp original interviews. Those are phenomenal.
Those are great.
I listened to the one on Coast to Coast, which he did a little later than the original one. The original one was on TV. It was a TV interview, so it's brief. It's like 20 minutes.
Even also, it's definitely worth checking out Lazar's home movies, because when he was first being cut out of this situation, right, when he was losing his gig there,
right,
he grabbed a few of his friends and he said, hey, look, remember that job I told you I got with the government? This is what it really is.
Right.
He took him down. He knew the flight test schedule.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday night.
That was on Wednesdays. He knew the exact time, the middle of the night, took his pals out.
You're driving 3 hours in the middle of nowhere.
Went to the middle of the desert to show him. They went out several times, but he did record.
So they're drinking beers
on his,
and they're smoking pot, hanging out.
Right. He recorded on his camcorder at the time. Of course, look.
It's a 1980s grainy camcorder at night.
But the whole thing about that is,
so
how did he
know,
right?
They said the footage exists, but like.
No, you can find it. I've seen it.
In fact, when I was Googling Lazar before, people there was a Google query like, where is the Bob Lazar footage? I'm not sure if it's still readily available.
It's not readily available. I tried looking for it.
You've seen it, though, right?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's almost weird that it was sponged off
the
no.
Knapp interview. The original one.
I've seen it.
The footage.
I've
is
seen
shit.
It through Coast to Coast.
It's so grainy.
But it's almost ironic that it's been sponged off the internet after this documentary
right.
came
Isn't
out.
It?
It's sponged off the internet. Yeah, I have seen it in passing, maybe 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't exist. Like, you can't find it now.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's hard to find. It is hard to find now.
It's sponged off the internet. It's
it's not even about what was recorded. It's about the fact that it was recorded. He knew. Look. Any way you look at it, even if you don't want to believe that he was working on alien ships, right? He was working on some top secret stuff with the government.
Oh yeah,
and he knew the test schedule.
I think it
right?
started
and
credible.
These ships did inhuman movements that even human pilots aren't capable of sustaining.
The best part is you gotta watch the documentary because
just follow
him.
His story.
Just look at him, see him talk in person. It adds more credibility.
Yeah.
When you meet his personality, what he looks like, I think he's not a guy that's full of shit.
He comes off as a genuine physicist. I listened to the most
recent Joe Rogan and the new guest, they were talking about it. Right. And then I forget the other guest. There was somebody Joe Rogan's had on the past.
Okay.
And he was asking him, like, well, what did you think? Did you think he was bullshitting? And Joe was like, he didn't seem like he was bullshitting. But then again, you know, he could just be smarter than me and is just fucking conning us.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, but he didn't seem to Joe like he was bullshitting.
I mean, listen, you know
bullshitters, and he does sound credible, but the things that he say are so spectacular.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, like,
let's say the granted truth, but
yeah.
Now, another thing with Lazar is that his story has never changed.
Right.
From the first time he told it to now,
it's the same story.
It's the same story. He doesn't nothing's been embellished or made
the
more.
The only thing additional that
incredible.
He said is that he felt that.
All right, first of all, we left something out, by the way. We didn't talk about
what was that?
That you were going to bring up. The other thing that you had never heard of.
Oh, well, the other thing I ever heard of was that he thought that these had been excavated.
Or at least one of them.
At least one of them
was
excavated.
In an archaeological dig.
It was excavated in an archaeological dig, so these are perhaps,
one of the ships, let's make
one
clear.
Of the ships, yeah, one of the 9 spacecraft. Was excavated in archaeological dig, and that these might be like ancient,
right.
whatever,
some
whatever
them,
that is.
Some
yeah.
of them could be ancient, and yeah. To us,
to ancient to us, whatever
you know,
that means.
Like obviously,
a couple thousand years.
He
couple
claimed
hundred,
on his briefing that the Zeta Reticuli alien had contact with the human race for the last 10,000 years.
That's now, look, yeah, that could be bullshit, of course. Sure, now, something he did
he's
say,
reading a briefing, so he doesn't have the direct information.
And something he said was that, and the government's been known to do this when they give briefings like that. They put deliberate bullshit
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, misinformation.
So, exactly.
If it gets the hands of the wrong people.
And not even know. That, so that they put very specific bullshit in everyone's different.
So
that
so
if he leaks something,
so if, I'm
if
in
he leaks something,
B, so
they know exactly where it came
right,
from.
Right.
So,
exactly.
so figuratively speaking,
was,
I'm
yeah.
in Department B, you're
yeah.
in Department F.
Yeah, okay, right.
And you leak, oh yeah, man, we had orange fucking spaceships.
Yeah. Right.
But only Department F's briefing said orange space.
Right,
exactly.
So they're going to
know.
They know
it's from you.
Exactly. Yeah. They can narrow it down. Right, that's yeah. exactly right. Yeah. So, now, I'm not saying that's what happened.
Sure.
But, and he said it himself, the government's known to do that. So, because when he first
weeds out that the was fucking rats,
and that was the first time, that was his first day there. Yeah. He got the briefing.
Right.
So
right,
he
right.
scanned everything, and it's almost like, whoa, what am I being tested?
Right. What is this?
Are they going to ask me? Do I remember all this stuff? Is this just part of the thing? It might not be true, but you know, look, hey, look, who knows? If all right, I'm not going to go ahead and say, hey, that's impossible. We're talking about anti-gravity motors.
Here. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so like,
it's a matter.
If the motor, if I'm going to sit here and say, I believe this motor exists, I'd be an asshole to say that, oh, no, that's impossible.
Right, everything's
like,
impossible.
You know, you're
this gravity this anti-gravity emitting motor is possible, but nothing else.
No,
yeah.
I'd be the biggest asshole walking around. Yeah. But, you know, look, who knows? It's just, it's an incredible story. I'd love some new facts about it.
Sure, sure.
But,
we'd love to get
we need a new whistleblower, boys.
Who's ready to ruin their
Who's
lives?
Up for it, boys?
Who wants to go to friggin' and be
who wants to
next Snowden?
Hey man, they can move to fucking Zeta.
Yeah, dude, you know? Zeta Reticular.
Right?
Dude, like,
Snowden's
how sick
example.
Would it be if someone
Bob
stole a ship?
Should be a hero.
Yeah, instead he's vilified.
Snowden's a
hero
because all the NSA. Who gives a fuck about this? They're spying on us. We know that.
Well, that's it.
He's not exposing truth. He's exposing that we're sheep.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Lazar,
but that shit that people don't like. People don't like being told that they're sheep.
Yeah,
that's why Snowden's hated. Yeah, but Lazar.
At least Lazar lives in Michigan, has his own company,
and he's got a big set of balls.
He's
got some
guns.
Grapefruits, boy.
Snowden's in fucking Russia, and he's not allowed back.
The fucking Ruskies.
There's an article right here from Decider.com. This is like the other day. And it says, like...
is this a skeptic site?
The Decider? It's
no,
called?
I don't like the name
I
of
am the
website.
Decider.
No, it's like a relatively like legit article website. And it's Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. This article's asking about where the test footage is.
Oh, okay.
And then there's an article from The Star. And this one says, is titled, Bob Lazar... what is it titled? Oh, UFO whistleblower Bob Lazar seems less crazy than ever.
He never seemed
that crazy, yeah. But I guess now they're saying, like, with, you know, kind of things, kind of moving.
Now, I'm sorry, I'm so far away. Because now, like.
Element 115.
Because now he doesn't seem as crazy because he's not as crazy because all these truths have come out.
Yeah.
About what he's talking about.
It says,
and
like.
That Rogan's super popular and influential.
Right. Yeah.
And he had him on and he treated him as an equal, not as a crackpot.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the biggest things of Rogan's podcast, I think, that had such a biggest effect, because Rogan's a really important guy when it comes to media nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the new Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Because Howard Stern's done, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he's
he has his own following.
Yeah,
he's a nobody.
Howard Stern's like our father, you know, the old guy that's retired.
He's grandpa.
Like, I loved him.
He doesn't
at the time,
do
but it's
he doesn't
done now.
Do gotcha interviews
job.
Or anything.
Like,
he's a shock job.
I think what hurt him is yada, like, yada, yada. Went to fucking. You know, satellite radio.
Yeah, he's, exactly.
I don't listen to fucking.
No, who
satellite?
Listens to
Howard
Stern anymore?
I think I'll be paying $6.
His clips are
fucking 7 years old.
I'll watch his clips on YouTube, but I mean,
but they're not even
like,
good anymore.
Well, you remember
no,
the E! Show when you were like,
that was the best. You get some
like,
tits.
Yeah, you're like 12, 13.
Come on.
You're like,
at 11:30 and 12, you get the half hour show.
Porn stars.
But no, seriously though, Rogan has taken that mantle.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He has got how many subscribers?
I like
Maron
too.
Over 5 million. How many subs does he have?
On YouTube alone?
5-10 million?
Probably.
At least five.
And remember, he isn't just watched on YouTube.
Every,
you know?
No, of course not. But every video, every interview he drops on YouTube, same day, second day, 5 million.
Oh, yeah.
So his like,
yeah,
retention
his
rate,
powerful JRE account has 5.6 million subscribers.
And his videos.
And then you
like,
have JRE Clips,
right,
which is like
the,
a secondary
little,
account.
I can't listen to his
and
animation.
That's got,
though,
and that's got
I
two.
Hate
that's,
it.
That's a whole.
And that's got 2.5 million.
But he does great interviews. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, his subs, the amount of subs he has, like, on typical YouTube channels, like, look at PewDiePie, right?
Yeah.
For example.
My
90,
cousin showed
90 million.
I'm like, who
is
the
that,
fuck is,
is
this?
That
90 million,
he has now?
94 million subscribers, but his videos get 5-10 million views.
Yeah.
You know, so these he's had, you know, not every subscriber is watching.
No.
Rogan, on the other hand, his videos are pulling in 80, 90, 100% of his subs are watching his videos.
Yeah, he's got a huge amount
so,
of interaction, yeah.
He's just... He's the best interviewer right now in media. He has the best guests. It's an open format.
That's the only reason Lazar agreed to the
Even
interview.
Even had Elon Musk on. So he,
oh, yeah.
Like,
the Musk
Elon,
one was
you
great.
Should, if you haven't, the
I
Elon
have
Musk
heard
is
the Musk.
Great. Okay. Yeah. It was great
so
as well.
So I only heard.
But, I watched the whole episode on the way back to from Hawaii.
Yeah, I watched it.
But
awesome.
That's.
And the media buries. Like,
Rogan's
I hate the media.
One of four.
That they said he was
Rogan's
smoking
one
weed.
Of four
well,
people.
He didn't even inhale. He took a puff, but that's
Rogan's one of four people have interviewed Lazar ever.
Yeah.
on and record. Four people have interviewed him.
I really loved it because most interviews over the year were it's choppy. You get a half hour here,
right?
5 minutes here.
I just
Rogan
like that.
Got 2 hours plus with this guy.
Oh yeah,
he got to flesh everything out. You got to hear it from his mouth, mm-hmm. not from secondhand.
You got to hear it's one of his biggest it. Interviews he ever did in his career.
Yeah, he's really wanted Lazaro.
He's been like us.
Yeah, he's
following
a
him
fan
from the beginning.
Like, I can actually get this guy in my studio.
Oh, what a get!
Yeah, what a get!
What a get! And you know what? That's why we're here. That's why we're here right now.
I was just gonna say I'm a guest this week. But just so you guys know, I am actively pursuing Bob Lazar to come on.
Yeah,
so
we got to get Bob Lazar
you know.
On the
record. No promises.
We'll bring him right here into the studio.
No promises, the retro
we're
podcast.
Do
I'll fly him out. If he wants, if
no
he,
problem.
We should contact him.
Actually, he won't let you. He didn't even let Rogan fly him out. That's how dedicated he is.
Dedication.
To not financially gaining.
He paid right
his
here.
Own goddamn ticket.
That's so
how do
funny.
You not love
so
this guy?
Pete, I think the next time you're going to be a guest, we're going to do the Skinwalker Ranch, which
okay.
also
part,
was a
It's
George
almost
now.
Part two
oh, yeah.
of
part
this
two.
Podcast.
So when we do every 4 or 5 episodes, we're going to do a paranormal kind of sci-fi.
Cool. Sounds good.
Expose the truth, Cass.
Right, there we go. Expose. But we're not, let's make
you're
it clear.
You're going to be our resident.
Okay.
truther, okay?
Yeah.
You're going to be our resident truther.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on Fast Walkers, too.
Oh, that's something we got to touch
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's
gotta,
another, another whole
thing.
Episode
we didn't
in
have
itself.
Time today.
You're
yeah,
going
to
be our resident truther.
We didn't have time to touch on Fast Walkers.
Pete the resident truther.
Sure.
He's going to be on more episodes. That's when we discuss fringe topics.
We are not, at least I'll speak for myself, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
No,
by any stretch.
I don't think anyone.
I don't
no, you're not
exactly.
a crackpot.
Oh, thanks, Phil. I'm not a crackpot.
Crack.
That's a real
well,
fucking broad statement, blanket statement.
He is not,
not
a crackpot.
Crack that's my credentials.
Well, that's your credentials.
We have friends that might be
in the interview. Pete, not crackpot.
We have friends that might be crackheads, but
yeah,
they're
not
no.
crackpots.
But you know what I mean. Like to be honest, in like we're not. We don't just jump on the bandwagon for every cool story that comes
like,
out.
I've liked Lazar
There's
for 20 years.
There's very few
been
things that I'll
George
even
now.
give time to.
Right, right,
Lazar's
right.
one of them because
sure.
he's such a it's
been,
such a
it's a it's fantastic story. It's been consistent
great,
and
but,
believable
but he's,
and
yeah,
like
he's
totally.
A,
you
it's
know.
Just a very believable story.
Yeah, that's why it's not as crazy as maybe the Allagash abductions, which I enjoy that story, and everybody else seems to think it's fucking
it's insane.
Poppycock.
Even one, I believe you told me, even one of the actual
one of the guys
truth breakers in that.
There was four
said
men,
it was bullshit.
It was four men that said they got abducted in the Allagash woods in Maine.
I was sipping my
no, it's in Maine. They're not hillbillies. It was in Maine. There are four dudes. They're you know, mid 20s. But one of them at this
they
point, after 30 years,
they were on the lake,
yeah, they're getting,
and they woke up.
They were having gay sex, and then the aliens disrupted.
You say the same thing. I was on the phone with Pete the other day, and Pete was like, "Yeah, they all just woke up naked in between, next to each other,
inside of each
hey,
other."
Hey, sorry, he's buried all my clothes. Can I sleep in your tent?
Sure could. But no, one of them today.
So
I think
when I was
is,
getting this dick in my ass, the alien interrupted.
It was two twin brothers, and then their two friends.
Two twins.
No, two sets of twins.
I'm very skeptical. This sounds
There's
strange.
Four
to
twins.
Me. A twin crew in the woods
Ooh,
having an orgy.
Twin
I don't
brothers
know
and then two
there.
Other guys. But one of the guys is like,
these
I don't
guys
think
sound like crackpots to
crackpots.
Me. These
well,
are crackpots.
The story is great, but it's. There's no look. Even Lazar doesn't have
well,
evidence.
Well, they put those guys
has,
under hypnosis.
Which is,
and
see, that's something. Now we're
why,
getting into
why you
another
feel
thing.
Hypnosis is poppycock
I think
too.
It's poppycock.
It's all poppycock.
It's all poppycock.
It's no like, bone dude, test from your fucking head. All right,
I want
hard
facts.
And then they flew me up to their spaceship.
Like, dude, come on,
my
I don't
asshole
believe
was sore.
Like, then do you believe in being hypnotized? Like,
I've never
like,
been hypnotized, so I couldn't tell you.
Now,
I would. We should
Phil,
get a hypnotist on the
you're
podcast.
Going
getting
down
very
a rabbit
sleepy.
Hole of
when you wake up,
okay.
you will not believe in cats.
And then they rape.
It's like ridiculous. Like, I don't smell cheese anymore.
This is the
well,
problem.
It's just for regress memory to pull
this
out
is
regress
the
memory.
Bullshit. It's poppycock.
Yeah,
more
poppycock.
It's more pseudoscience.
Lazar. This is Krezlazar with these bullshit.
These cock boys.
I wonder if we could hypnotize
liars.
Bob Lazar and see what we could
yeah,
get out of there.
No, see,
it was
this,
all a,
these stories.
It was all a troll job.
Troll.
These stories. Discredit.
My real identity is
John Lazar.
Bill Clinton.
Oh my
like,
God.
John Lazar.
John Lazar. John Lazar.
John Lazar. My twin. I ate Bob Lazar.
I ate Bob Lazar.
It's these fanatical nonsense that discredits the whole movement.
Yeah, the crazies, man.
The crackpots discredit.
But those
are
the people who get media attention because I'm sure the government loves
that. Because it overshadows.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like Swamp Gas, right?
Everything's Swamp Gas.
Everything, that was the government's go-to.
Everything since Men in Black has been Swamp Gas.
There was a crash landing in the forest, and now grass hasn't grown there in 60 years. Swamp Gas.
Swamp Gas. Swamp Gas refracted the light off of Venus.
I heard Men in Black's a big abortion.
Yeah.
The new one, just disaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
how
fuck,
can you
is
say
it?
That?
The new
I'm
one.
No, I'm kidding.
We have like five. That's why we didn't do movies on this episode. There's like five movies we should have went over.
We'll
and
go back to the next retro.
What, did you see Godzilla? How
Godzilla,
was that shit?
I liked
that.
You liked it.
No, I heard it was a monster. I heard that like, the people were terrible and annoying.
I did hear, I heard the one problem with that.
Yeah, we'll close was up. That Sean's the, telling us the cut here.
Yeah, he needs to smoke.
He needs to take a cigarette. Yeah,
nah, I just like to have subject matter that's relevant to the theme of the episode.
We're closing up, boys. We're
talking about fantastical monsters
closing
now.
Statements, but
Men
in Black. What else? The Toy Story 4. I watched
Toy
Story 3 last night for the first time.
Which
I didn't
was
even
that?
Finish it.
I've never saw Toy Story 3.
It's the one where Andy goes to college.
Okay,
and then they like
seen that.
And like,
were they like getting put in a crusher or something at the end?
Well, Tom Hanks is in denial and kind of. I didn't finish it. I fell asleep. But
so Andy went to a refugee camp. He's Syrian.
Yes. Yeah, they went to a Syrian.
North
refugee
Korea.
Camp.
The toys were sent to North Korea.
They were sent to They're sent to a holding cell awaiting public execution.
Exactly. They were drugged and
This is entertainment.
Yeah,
that's right, boys.
Toy Story 5. Lost in North Korea.
Yeah.
Lost in Pyongyang. Yeah. That's gold.
That would be a moneymaker.
That's a score right
North
there.
North Korea
boys.
Would definitely threaten America with nuclear weapons,
like they did with all the other like
love
Team
it.
America,
like, dude,
World Police.
How can you not love that? Like, what was the other movie that came out
recently
with
the
Franco?
Interview?
Yeah,
I watched. Dude, I saw that in theater.
Like, that's the best publicity you could get for a movie. Our movie's so good.
Movie
North Korea is so butthurt about
that movie.
That movie was fucking trash.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was,
but
yeah,
it wasn't a classic.
No.
It was just like.
You know,
they're ribbing
it's like
on
one of those super bad shticks, like those Judd
Apatow
movies.
They're ribbing on North
that,
Korea. Like, it's fun to rib on North
was that
Korea.
Theater movie Judd or was
Apatow.
That direct to Netflix?
No, it was a theater movie, but they threatened Sony.
No, they pulled it from
oh,
theaters
pulled,
and threw it on
they
Netflix.
They threatened
oh,
Sony.
Yeah, I saw it on Netflix. Okay.
Because, we'll blow up the entire country.
They were threatening.
Wow, another John Franco.
Sony's such a puss, though. Now they negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, I know.
This is America.
Yeah.
This is America.
Well, listen, Sony's... Sony's main market is fucking Asia.
The movie theaters.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, all right.
Sony's main market is fucking Asia.
Oh, of course.
Okay, yeah. No,
Venom
cool.
made Peanuts here in China was the number one smash hit.
They don't even have movies in North Korea.
Well, Sony International Pictures is just a subsidiary.
They said the Chinese love CGI.
Of course. It's why they love all the Transformer movies.
We're like, more CGI.
Giant robots, dude.
Yeah, they
everyone
love
giant
robots.
Robots
yeah,
but
yeah,
the
yeah.
Asians love giant robots.
Oh, yeah, China especially.
Because they're small and everything else. They're like giant things.
Burn. That was a shot. That was a shot fired.
Is that a race?
Sean's firing shots.
Sean's firing shots at Pyongyang.
Yes.
Hong Kong.
Small water.
The whole Asian
the whole Asian community is uproar.
Small water.
Hopefully not a retrocade. Like, they'll be picketing the podcast in general.
Oh, no,
we will blow up retrocade.
We don't lie.
Oh, God. They're going to be coming to the studio
Could
with
picketing. Could you imagine? Who's at the door?
Somebody up there.
Seems like an alien.
Oh, my God. They're here.
All this creepy shit that we've been doing. I think the creepiest thing to see
car doors are open.
Alien that through, like, the dark window.
Right?
Yeah. Oh!
I don't even want to look at
that. Yeah, no. We've creeped ourselves out talking about spooky
Bob Lazar. We had a nice subject matter today.
Good stuff.
We covered a lot.
I hope anybody who don't know about Bob Lazar now knows about Bob Lazar.
Definitely check it out. And thanks for having me, boys.
I think the next P episode was to a Skinwalker Ranch. It's a fascinating topic.
Sounds good. I do know of it. I've seen a couple documentaries about it.
Douchey beard douche from the movie.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's telling him to shut the fuck up. He made
Jeremy,
a Skinwalker.
Jeremy Corbyn.
When was that? That was a few years back?
That was about 2-3 years back.
Okay, I might have actually seen that.
Rewatch this.
Now that is creepy, though.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about tech with Bob Lazar.
Now this is
that's fucking like
Native American
stomach
creepiness.
Turning like...
Oh.
Like,
well,
I want
to
close my eyes.
Yeah,
like,
that's a shit nightmare.
A tidbit.
Yes.
That's like, it was like a
now
Navajo
that,
ranch that had
gonna,
UFO kind
we're gonna
of
do,
paranormal
we're gonna do a new
shit
segment
going on
of like an Arbellian type cast every once in a blue.
Sure.
And Pete will
as
be,
opposed
to
watching the schlock movies of the summer that I didn't want to see anyway.
We're gonna do schlock.
Which ones did we miss? Oh, so Dark Phoenix. Did anybody see that?
No.
Schlock?
We'll do the movie, so we're going to do our schlock.
I'll catch up on those.
We'll
talk about them. Yeah, they are schlock.
When we do the fringe topics, we're going to have our resident truther out here.
I'd love to come back, boys.
And
crackpot.
Pete will be back for our fringe episodes.
Yeah, it's been good.
So,
but thanks for having me. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode.
Oh, yeah,
and
this
definitely
is a fun
check
one.
Out Bob Lazar, man. It's,
yeah.
Watch it on Netflix.
Incredible. Knock on his door, fucking harass the guy.
Watch it on Netflix, listen to the Rogan, you'll be blown away.
Absolutely. Okay, boys. All right, I guess that's it. We're hitting the 80-minute mark here. All right, tune in next week or next month. This is also pretty much the 4-year anniversary right now.
Congratulations,
yeah, we started in
guys.
June 2015, so this is pretty much the 4-year anniversary.
What a way to!
We don't even have 40 episodes; oh, we have 37.
You know, it's quality almost. Over quantity.
It
boys.
Is. Yeah,
quality
remember every
what a
episode
guy, what a guy.
Is important. So that's it for this week. Tune in next week. And also check out the Instagram and Facebook page because I'll be putting all like the pictures up. If you don't know what Bob Lazar looks like and all this other stuff to be talking about the hangers. And the hand scanner, I'll put up pictures, all that stuff, and
sure,
check all that out.
Sure, the hangers are super interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah, the cool footage
and the scanners all suck. You said.
Yeah, the hand scanner and a few.
Just show a picture
proof,
of Bob
you know?
Too.
I have a couple of pictures of Bob, and then the sport model, which is the main
sure.
shit craft that he worked on. He
right.
nicknamed it.
I know
the sport
there's
model.
So much we didn't even get to talk about,
I
but
know.
Lazar talks about all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
We just wanted to give our opinions.
Yeah, we
on
pretty
it
much
and,
gave a,
you know,
a like an overview.
Exactly.
Yeah, we didn't get crazy in depth. It would probably take 3 hours. Yeah, there's so much to go into detail about.
You know?
Yeah, you can watch his interviews.
Definitely
we
listen
just gave,
to this one.
Yeah,
but,
definitely listen to this one first and foremost.
But then listen to Lazar.
And then listen to the guy
right,
that's really talking
know.
About the stuff.
We're the ones you trust.
Yeah,
so.
We're the real. Yeah, exactly. We're giving our truthful opinion
exactly.
about the Allagash abductions right. and Bob Lazar. All right, everyone, that's it for this week. Enjoy yourselves and keep watching the stars.